Welcome to the Experience Podcast, where the legacy, culture, and voices of the Morehouse College come to life. I'm Milton Rogers, a junior Africana Studies major and religion minor, hailing from Roxborough, North Carolina. Each week, we dive into the stories, perspectives, and experiences that shape the Morehouse community around us. From student leaders to change makers, from campus traditions to the challenges and triumphs we face, the Experience Podcast is your front row seat to the heartbeat of Morehouse. Today on the Experience Podcast, we're sitting down with John Johnson to talk about leadership, resilience, and the lessons learned from taking on big challenges. So what's up, John?
Now, what's going on? How y'all feeling today, man? How y'all feeling, Phil?
Good, good, for sure. Introduce yourself to the podcast.
Now, for sure, my name is John Johnson. I'm a business administration major with a concentration in finance from Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm a junior here as well at Morehouse College, for sure.
Oh, dope. So you're from Atlanta. So tell me your favorite things in Atlanta.
I guess my favorite things in Atlanta is, like, it's a black-owned city. Yeah. So you come down here, a lot of people are shocked at how many black people are out here.
It's actually a lot.
You know, it's a shocker. It's a life-changing thing for people. So that's one of the main things I really love about Atlanta, for sure.
Nice. So since you're from Atlanta, and you're the first person we've had on the show who is actually from Atlanta, you know, we've had some West Coast people. But you being from Atlanta, what has you here at Morehouse? What made you come to Morehouse? Because there, you know, I was never going to a HBCU in North Carolina, which is where I'm from. My mom teaches at a HBCU, and I was never going to that school. Shout out to the Eagles, for sure. But what brought you to Morehouse?
I guess what brought me to Morehouse, not really being from Atlanta, is I'm legacy as well. I'm a Spellhouse baby at that. My mom's with the Spell, my pops with the Morehouse, as well as my older brother. Went to Morehouse as well. He graduated in 2022.
Nice.
And as well, my younger brother's here as well with me.
Nice.
So it's always just kind of been in the bloodline. Mm-hmm. Going to Morehouse. I got my youngest brother. He thinks he has a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're all going to be Morehouse men one day. For sure.
So tell us, like, what legacy is.
What legacy is kind of just building upon a platform that was already set for you. You know, as black people in America, you know, we're living a legacy of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, you know, MLK did say, I have a dream, and we living out his dream that he once did. And that was him leaving his legacy and his thoughts and his opinions behind for us to follow up on and, you know, make come true.
Nice, nice. That's what's up. So, yeah, a lot of people, like me, no legacy. My dad went to St. Aug, which is in North Carolina.
Oh, for sure.
My mom, she graduated. Her first, the HBCU she went to was North Carolina Central. Right. Not a legacy, but I was definitely born and bred to go to a HBCU. So,
yeah.
I definitely understand. So, you are a business administration major, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, what pulled you into the world of business?
My pops, my family, you know, they all very business oriented. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of around that business of real estate my whole life, so I kind of seen the ins and outs of everything on how a business ran. Honestly, I didn't want to be a business major. I'm a science guy.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, well, my dad came to Morehouse being an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've always been in love with science, physics, and all of that. But, you know, just kind of following in is something that's applicable in today's world. It's not, you know, not to say it's a monetary thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of scientists aren't getting paid a lot of money.
No, for sure not. Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah, unless they're in research, you're probably, you know, not doing as much as some other people are.
Yeah,
so
sure.
being on campus, tell me some things you've participated in as far as, like, clubs or organizations. We spoke about, like, you being on track and field and the soccer team and protege program. So let's talk about some of those.
No, for sure. Some of the clubs, I guess, one of the main things I'm kind of proud about is the Secondhand Friends Club.
Yeah.
That was kind of a club where we recycle clothes and kind of give back to Morehouse and the community of, you know, just the fashion industry. I have my own business where I used to sell clothes, actually.
Nice.
So coming to Morehouse and just bringing that here, kind of starting that up, being a part of the first team and program for that to continue on, it was amazing. It felt good, as well as part of the... Before the Real Estate Institute came mm-hmm. back to Morehouse and being a part of the real estate club, they had that out here. It was very small. Not a lot of mm-hmm. people knew about it, weren't very interested in because it was senior led. So a lot of the seniors were like, I'm not even going to pour into it because I'm just going to leave anyway.
So the Secondhand Friend Club, when I read that, when you told me about it, I was like, I'm not sure what this means. But so it would be like explain how it works.
For sure. How it kind of worked for us was a lot of people would come donate the clothes that they just didn't want or just didn't need, they weren't wearing at all. They come donate to us, and then we would host events around Morehouse. You know, we obviously would clean the clothes, kind of, you know, get them right before we give them back out to the public. And we'll host events where you could just come in and just grab the clothes for free.
Nice.
It wasn't a charge thing. We weren't trying to, it was more a community-based, like, hey, we have these clothes here. You know, everybody's into fashion. Fashion's becoming a trending topic.
For sure.
Something very trendy for a lot of people yeah. nowadays. So it's like, if you need something, just come by and just grab it.
Yeah, nice. So being in real estate, I saw your social media and saw that you like have a real estate page as well. A lot of people a lot of people who are your age aren't as progressive in, you know, getting their foot wet or getting in that, you know, in their arena before they graduate from college. A lot of people are waiting until they have a degree. A lot of people are waiting, you know, until someone like pulls them to do the thing. So what made you say, like, I'm going to start this now? Like, I'm in college, but I can also be in college and work in real estate.
Really, my pops.
Yeah.
My family's very active in real estate. That's mm-hmm. kind of our family business nice. Is real estate. So it wasn't kind of a fear that I had of something, oh, let me just jump into something unknown. I had a comfortable feeling because I see people doing it already. My mom was a real estate agent herself.
Nice.
So kind of getting my real estate license was something like, I was like, okay, let me just go ahead and follow in her footsteps because nice. I see it's already been done. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess a lot of people are scared nowadays because they just haven't seen it done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm grateful for, that, you know, it's already been done for me and the groundworks have been laid. So
nice. So how old were you when you got your real estate license?
18. You got to be 18. Nice. Legal, what a legal
so
age.
You got them at 18.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
for
nice.
Sure,
that's
for
what's sure. up. So I also know that you were on a soccer team and track and field. So those are sports. So what have you always played soccer or been on track and field since like high school?
Yeah, I've always been a big sports guy. Like sports have been, you know, in high school I was the sports guy. I did mm-hmm. everything. I went to a small private high school where, you know, it was a majority white people. So the few black kids that they did have, you played about every sport mm-hmm. that they had and offered.
Because you were great at all of them.
humbly.
For sure. But that's what's up. So I know recently we had an election, right?
Oh, for sure.
And we are actually now in the runoffs for the president of SGA.
Definitely.
And you ran.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, what made you run for president of SGA?
What really made me run for is kind of being a part of a change. Like, that was my whole platform, of being a part of a change. I know I'm not the traditional SGA candidate at all. I've never been a part of SGA. I really never wanted to be a part of SGA until I saw the opportunity. Like, okay, this is my last year to actually make a big impact on Morehouse students. I might as well just shoot for the top. If I'm going to aim for something, I'm just shoot for the top for it, for sure. So it's just being a part of the change for Morehouse. You know, Morehouse has been in a traditional setting, and it's always followed in suit of a certain type of people going into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that's like, we're going to just keep building the same bricks and having the same results. If we keep, you know, doing the same thing, you know, that was kind of my whole platform. Is like, if we're going to have an actual change, somebody has to come in here and actually want to push the change.
That's a change.
Yeah.
You know? No. I definitely agree. I think a lot of times we carve out what a leader looks like visually, mentally, what they've done before. And then, you know, you don't really take the, you know, the thought of the creative person, or you don't think take the thought of the person who, you know, is not a poli sci major. They might be a science major, you know,
Sure.
Or a business major, or me, I'm an Africana studies major. But I think that that's very important. So what was the most rewarding thing that you got from campaigning?
I guess it was the process. You mm-hmm. know, you got to learn how to really lead a large group of people. At the end of the day, like, you have your whole campaign team, but it's not just 3-4 people you just coming in and just talk about. Now it's like 60+, 100+ people where you have to have, you know, stay organized, stay on top of things, and just be focused on what you want to do. Like, nobody was going to push the campaign harder than me.
Right, for sure.
So just got to I got to show myself resilience and, like, let me, you know, keep, if I really wanted it, I actually have to go out there and get it, mm-hmm. you know, regardless.
Yeah, for sure. So if you could go back and do anything differently when it comes to the campaign, like, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, I might would have done more of this or and less of this. What do you think you would have done differently?
I would have more organized my team a little bit better and gave them more instructions. Because I feel like sometimes they were just lost in what to do and, like, the timeline of everything. Because if you're going to lead a team, you got to, you know, give them exactly what needs to be done. And that's something I really would have took in and just be more organized with them as well. A lot of the things I did do were kind of rushed.
Yeah.
I do say that. And I do apologize that on behalf of my team. For sure.
But I mean, to your point, rushed, I think, you know, I'm a transfer student, non-traditional, and you've been here since a freshman year, right?
For sure.
I feel like just being on campus, and if I would have even thought of running for an office, it just seems like a very short amount of time for you to get things together.
No, for sure.
Unless you're, like, planning this 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
But if it's something that, like, you know, God is just like, maybe you should do this. It's like, okay, well, God, you're going to have to figure this out for me in a week because that's what's, you know, it's a very short timeline.
For sure.
So I definitely think that, you know, I commend everyone who runs for an office and has a campaign if they're not, I mean, someone like you, because you're not in SGA and you're coming from, you know, the outside looking in, if you will.
For sure.
And I think that's very commendable for sure. What other things are you involved in on campus? Tell me about the Protégé program.
So the Protégé program is kind of a mentorship program for finance. It's something I joined in when I was a freshman here at Morehouse. And so I kind of been trying to keep being involved with that because it's you mentor a lot of freshmen about like what it takes to be finance. I think it's mainly for finance students. Mm-hmm. So you kind of give them mentorship, like what class you should take, what teachers are good, and what, you know, how to just stay on top of things and what programs and internships you should be looking out for, what, you know, Morehouse offers a lot of things for finance students. It's mm-hmm. very a business-oriented school.
For sure.
For sure for that. But, you know, it's a mentorship program for freshmen, for sure.
Nice. So you're a member of Greek Life as well. So tell us about your experience on campus and how Greek Life has helped you, changed you, what are the benefits of it?
For sure. Well, my experience on campus, we are currently under suspension, so it's been a lot different for us. But in just the ways it changed me, it brought me more to be an open person. Before this, I was kind of closed off, reserved to myself. You know, I have 19 line brothers, so mm-hmm. it kind of opened me up to actually being able to bond with people on a deeper level and, you know, a deeper level connection with them. Actually, you know, to see them from person to person and not kind of somebody, okay, as an acquaintance of some sort.
And so you are a member of?
Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Got you. And so what made you choose Omega Psi Phi Fraternity?
Well, my brother, he was in the line before me, so he crossed in 2023. And so just kind of, you know, following suit, I saw what it did for him and the people he had around him. You know, the motto for the fraternity is friendship is essential to the soul. So they really take that actually to heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's something they hold dear, and you know, you can see it within the connections he has with his line brothers and even the people who crossed before him. It's basically a big family
mm-hmm.
of, you know, everybody who's involved in a fraternity.
So do you have are any other of your family members in Greek Life, like mom, dad?
No, in my immediate family, my older brother was the first one to do it.
Nice.
But my aunt, my mm-hmm. dad's sister, is a part of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Oh, nice.
For sure.
So do you have, what are your plans for the rest of the semester on campus?
On campus, just to be more involved, like just to finish out. I'm trying to do a lot. I'm trying to, you know, study for my LSAT as well.
Nice.
To make sure, you know, I'm getting into law school right mm-hmm. after graduation, you know, and the ones I plan to. And as well, just to keep on with my real estate business, you know, running for president, you know, it got me more involved with campus, and I don't want that to diminish, like, oh, he just ran and just disappeared.
Right, for sure.
But, yeah, just to see how ways I can just fit in and, you know, plug in myself.
Nice. So you said something about LSAT. You said something about law school. I hate when people ask me this, but I'm going to ask you just because. So, like, what is your 5-year plan and your 10-year plan?
Now, for sure, my 5-year plan really is to, so I've been a licensed agent for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So in 3 years, as a licensed agent, for 3 years, you're able to open your own brokerage. And that means you're able to sign your own agents to your, basically your own company. Basically, you have your own team, not to sign my players. So that's my kind of my 5-year plan there, is to open my own brokerage and once I'm able to legally, and as well in evolving law school, to get my JD. I really want to do my JD and MBA at the same time, so I won't have to do many more years of school.
Yeah, because that sounds like a lot of years for sure.
For sure, but that's my 5-year plan, is just kind of start that business and build upon that as well, you know, and just get all my licensing and everything, my certifications I need for the paperwork. You know, it's a very paperwork world that we need.
So much paperwork.
But in 10 years, I really do plan on becoming one of the top real estate developers here in Atlanta. Being able to start developing communities and neighborhoods for people, even in affordable housing for our Black community. Because, you know, a lot of the neighborhood I live in now has been gentrified. That's my childhood neighborhood.
Which is where? Like, what area is it in?
Summerhill.
Shout out Zone 3.
For sure.
I just moved there in August. I'm not from there.
So it's over there by the Georgia State football stadium. Oh, yeah.
And it's very, like, when I moved here, one of the things I was, like, driving around, because I hate driving. So when I came here, I'm like, I need to live within 5 to 7 minutes of the school, because I'm not driving. If I have to drive 30 minutes, I'm going to miss class a lot of days. So actually, Summerhill, I live in Summerhill. It's very nice. It's very, but you can tell where the gentrification happened, because where that little carnival is,
that's the,
and then right up under, it's like, okay. Which is cool. I lived in New York for a while, and there are so many pieces of New York where you cross the street, or actually, I was in Europe for spring break. And one of the tour guides was showing us how you can go from, like, a very busy street in London to a not-so-busy street that doesn't look as safe. I think that, you know, I think gentrification is, I don't always see it as a bad thing. I think, well, I guess I do. Gentrification can be bad. I think that if they're still having Black people in the area, I don't see an issue with that, but it's when we're being moved. I think that's what bothers me. But Summerhill is, the Publix is nice.
Yeah, the Publix is really nice.
No, the Publix is nice.
Yeah.
But that, mind you, the Publix being in Summerhill reminds me of the Whole Foods being on 125th in Harlem. Like, what is this? What is this Whole Foods about? So do you have any, like, specific law schools on your radar?
Yeah, for sure, the top. I'm like, you know, I'm always here just to shoot for the top. If I'm going to shoot, I'm going to shoot for the top.
For sure.
Yeah. So I got Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Stanford, but I got a couple local ones, as in Emory and the University of Georgia as well.
So would you want to, would you do that online? Would you be there? Would you want to move there to those locations? Or
I would most definitely have to be there. I'm not a great, if it's online, I'm not doing it for sure. I'm not that type of student. I gotta see you do it in person, and we gotta be able to meet, you know.
Yeah. So have you ever visited any of these schools? And which one, like, stuck out to you for city wise and or school wise?
I have not visited any of these schools, but I plan to do that in the summer. Mm-hmm. But for city wise, I'm obviously in Georgia, so I've seen Emory before. I've been at UGA, but up there up north, I love it up north. It's complete. Yeah. It's completely different.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's completely different from the south, for sure. Yeah. You can most definitely get lost. Get caught
for sure. Yeah, New York is my favorite city that I have lived in. DC is my favorite city I haven't lived in. But Columbia is a really cool school. One of my friends goes there for his master's. I think I always am like, let me go where it feels the best. Because you want to feel, I've looked at some schools like in Pittsburgh for my master's. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, you never know.
Yeah, you really
do. So if you could tell your young self something, what would you tell little John?
What I tell him is, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. A lot of people forget about things, and, you know, you we're so caught up in, you know, the social media world. It's all about judgment. Like, oh, what would he think about me? What would they think about me? But, like, that's how you lose your confidence in a lot of things. And that's how you lose opportunities because you don't feel like you belong.
Mm-hmm.
That's most definitely one thing I tell my younger self. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, you're John Johnson, and they are who they are. They do everything just like you do. They go to sleep, wake up, brush their teeth, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, like you do, like everybody's a normal human. Nobody's different than anybody else. So just step in every room with that confidence. Like, I'm just going to be who I am, and I'm not going to really, you know, care what other people think about me.
Yeah. So would you say something similar to you're graduating next year? So would you say something similar to someone who will be a freshman in the fall? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them, you know, just come in and experience everything. Don't try to cut out certain things because you might not think it's for you. You really never know. You know, just as a freshman, you're supposed to be a sponge to all of this. You know, it's a brand new experience. That's really the main thing for freshmen, is just be a sponge. Mm-hmm. There's nothing this is new to you. This is new to everybody else.
Yeah.
So there's no point of you trying to be, oh, I'm the cool kid. I'm not going to do this because, oh, that's what I normally wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But it's like, nah, bro, like, just get out there and just be who you are and just experience life. Like this, you only got 4 years and you only got one time to be a freshman.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's very important. I think, you know, I have said to myself, like, oh, you could do a podcast. And I get to Morehouse and I'm like, here, doing a podcast.
Nah, for sure.
It could have been done before, maybe. But, you know, I think that it's very important to open your eyes as a freshman or just as a person who's coming into a new space. You have to be open to new things and to change and to evolving to the best person you can be. But I would like to thank you, John Johnson,
for sure.
My brother, for coming in today. We appreciate you for all the nuggets you dropped and letting people know, like, you know, how it is to be a legacy, how it is to be in Greek life, and also how it is to run for an office, an SGA office, and not be the candidate that people would have thought that would run. And I think that's very important, and we really appreciate you for coming today.
No, I appreciate y'all for having me, man. It's a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day, brother.
No, you too.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Experience Podcast. Morehouse isn't just a college. It's a journey, a brotherhood, and a legacy that shapes us for a lifetime. Whether you're a student, an alum, or someone who admires the spirit of the house, we hope today's conversation gave you something to reflect on. Keep striving, keep leading, and keep carrying the torch of excellence. This is the Experience Podcast, where history, culture, and purpose meet. Until next time, blessings and peace.